Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Here it is, the end of February already. So that next week we start in March. We're going to, the theme for March will be the trap, T-R-A-P. And that's the trap that we all fall into on this plane of action. So we'll talk about that trap and get insight on how to stay out of it, and if you're in it, how to get out of it. Just get out and to stay out once and for all. So, with that said, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. With that, August, will you read this, please, and pass it on?
Don't understand. Whatever else God is me.
Whatever else God is, 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 God is me. Whatever else God is, God is me.
Whatever else God is, God is me.
And whatever else God is me. This is a wonderful thing to remember. This is the same idea of all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. Please work on this in your consciousness so that your mind does not tell you that that is not so. The outside world, this thing that we live in, is very convincing, and it teaches separation. This teaching teaches unity. It teaches you that you are one with God. If we make that wonderful statement, all there is God, then you must be some part of God. You cannot be anything else, and you cannot be outside of this thing called God. Therefore, you are a God center, and God activity is in you right here and right now. So remember that. When you think, God thinks. And what you're doing on this plane of action, when you walk, when you talk, when you help somebody, that is God in action. And you have the choice to bring that out of you, to do those things, or not. But I try to always remind myself that I am about my Father's business. We are here on this plane of action to help each other, to grow in our understanding that we are one with this thing called God. So do that for yourselves. Find reasons why that is so in your life and learn to see that. I had a client today that said she finally felt the presence of God. She's 56 years old. Some people go through their whole life without feeling this presence of God. Learn to feel that, because all the books that you read, all the churches that you can go to, all the knowledge that you can come by about God means absolutely nothing unless you can feel God. God is a presence, not a personality and not a person. God is a presence in your life. God is a knowing. You must know that this thing called God exists in, as, and through you, that you are connected to it. That is what this teaching is all about. When we learn these things about God and about ourselves, our life changes. It becomes the wonderful thing that it was meant to be. What has happened to us is we came to this plane of action and we got all wrapped up in our senses, our five senses, and we say, ha, if this is a wonderful world, but it's a physical world that we live in. This is true. You may look at it as a physical world, but you must move your consciousness up to a metaphysical level so that you learn to see things differently. The whole idea in life is to learn to see things differently. The world is the way it is because of our thinking. And you can change the world by changing your thinking. That not only means the large world, it also means your world, the way you're living, your home environment. Whatever is going on can be changed by changing your thinking, by realizing that you have that power, that you're one with this thing called God, and that you can do this, and you can do greater things than this. How many people, I've said this before, this is a practical teaching, and we're going to call it practical metaphysics. Years ago, I talked when my aunt, before she made her transition, for 15, maybe 20 years, I sent my Aunt Catherine a postcard every week. None of those postcards ever got lost in the mail. Sometimes they were slowed down, but they would reappear again. Someone, I think once it took 2 weeks for one to come back around again, but she got it. So I always have great admiration for the post office. And I always say and affirm that my letters go where they're supposed to go, that they do not get lost. And if I want to put something in there, a check, money, or whatever, it gets to where it's going. That no one in the post office is out to steal that money to do anything with that. The comparison that I make there, that my mother, who was my aunt's sister, never believed in that system. So her letters were always getting lost. Things were never coming to her. All kinds of havoc was always going on. So what I'm trying to tell you is, it is a belief system, and it is your belief system that's doing it. It has nothing to do with the United States Post Office. It has to do with what you are thinking about the United States Post Office. So, last week in the mail, this arrived. Like this, exactly the way you seen it. See it, chewed up here. Now, there is no return address on this letter, on this card. And the zip code is wrong. But I received this. I have no idea whose that is. I opened this card up. And in here it says, love you, and that's all. But also in here was a $50 bill. $50 bill that could have fallen out, could have done anything. Perhaps if the card was this way, or perhaps the mailman would look at it and take it, or something. I have no idea. But the thing is that it got to me, regardless, because my belief in the post office, my belief in the idea that people are honest. You have to start with that premise, that only honest people come into your life, and that only honest people are in the world. How many people say, oh, you know how people are. They're out to get you. They're out to steal. They're out to do this, that, and the other thing. That is complete race mind, people. And if you believe that, it's going to come upon you. It's the story of Job. What you fear most will come upon you. Now, the other thing that I've discovered here, it says Boston, Massachusetts. I have no idea who lives in Boston, Massachusetts. I mean, I know people live in Boston, Massachusetts. But I don't know who could have sent that. Nor do I recognize that handwriting or the other handwriting that is inside of here, which says love you, which looks completely different than the handwriting on the envelope. So the other reason why I'm showing you this card is because every morning I read this to myself, and I've given it to you many times, and it says my supply comes from God, and big happy financial surprises now come to me under grace in perfect ways. Now, maybe you think $50 is not a big happy financial surprise. To me, it's a big happy financial surprise. So when you go to the mailbox, remember that a surprise is going to be there. I once lived, when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia, there was a young executive lady who worked for Coca-Cola. She could not bring herself to ever go to the mailbox. The mailman used to have to finally come and knock on her door because he couldn't get anything else stuffed in the mailbox because she was afraid a bill was going to come. Never be afraid a bill's going to come. Know that money is going to come. But we are taught that what do you get? I get bills, and I get bills at the end of the month. This is true. You may get bills, but you have to also know that it's possible to get other things in the mail besides bills. And when you do that, this is what happens. This is what shows up in life. So this is how you use this teaching practically. Now, the other thing when I say to you, God is my source and my supply. And when I want something or think of something, I have to know that that is heard and that that need is met. So the other day, I'm thinking to myself, I would like some new sheets. I think I want some new sheets. Now, I do not say to myself, I'm going to go here to get them, I'm going to go there to get them, and I'm going to spend money, or I don't have the money for sheets, or I don't need sheets. The idea is, I would like new sheets. That's it. That's out there now. That went out there into what we call mind, or the law of mind. Now, the law of mind has to respond to me. Has to respond to me. So my friend Marilyn took me out to dinner yesterday, and she gave me a birthday card. In the birthday card was a gift certificate from Bed Bath & Beyond. And she looked at me and she said, I thought maybe you needed new sheets. I thought maybe you needed new sheets. You have to know that this thing is listening to you. And you have to know that it's going to do something. You're saying? Fun and entertainment. Ways and means. This is what it is all about. So you put your desire, your need, your request, if you want, whatever you want to call it, you make that. And then you let go of that and know that something is going to happen. Now, why in the world would anybody, Marilyn doesn't know that I need new sheets, why would she not only give me the card and say, well, you could buy anything with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But specifically say, I think you need new sheets. You see? Because there's only one mind. And we're living, moving, and having our being in that mind. Call it the mind of God if you want. Call it the universe itself if you want. But know that it responds to you. You have to do that for yourself. Each time you do that, you build your belief. Each time you do that, you build a faith in this thing. Instead of just talking about it, reading about it and so forth, now you're using it in a practical way. And that is what this teaching is about. To teach you to use this thing called the law of mind. And that is all we're ever going to teach, or at least that's all I am ever going to teach. The law of mind. And they like to put all kinds of fancy names on it. They like to call it the law of attraction. They like to call it this, that, and the other thing. And you can call it anything that you want. They call it the secret, the this, the that. But it's the law of mind. The law of mind, and you don't have to slice it up into other little things. Just remember, there's a law out there that responds to me. If you don't like the word law, God is out there helping. If you don't like God, call it something else. But you have to come to the conclusion that your mind is doing something. It is not just up here whistling around all the time telling you a bunch of garbage. It is a creative machine. You are a manufacturer. And you are manufacturing things with your thinking, with your thoughts, and with your feelings. And it's up to you to use it and to decide what you want. You don't have to say to God, is this a good idea? Do you really want me to have that? You don't have to ask anybody else those things. You see? God responds to you exactly the way you want to be responded to. You have to get that through your thinking, through your mind, because the world wants to take that away from you all the time. and wants to tell you that that's not the way it works. So, think of it. You have a friend in a high place. You, whatever, however you want to think it. But make it work for you. It has to work for you. It works for everyone. This thing called God does not show favorites. As it says in the Bible, it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. It will work for you, and it is constantly working. The other thing to remember is this thing does not know the difference between a casual thought and a causative thought. All thoughts cause something. It's the start. It starts something. So, this is what this teaching is about. So if you want to read a lot of books, if you want to do all that, please feel free to do that. If you want to go to church and worship God and think that God needs that, all well and good. But I'm here to tell you, you never have to go to a church, you never have to read another book, and you certainly don't have to even like this thing called God. What you have to do is like yourself, and what you have to do is remember that you have a mind, and that mind does something. And you have to learn to exercise that mind the same way you exercise your body. And you must take charge of it and tell it what you want and not what it wants. Remember, the theme this month is master or slave. Do you want to be a master of your mind, or do you want to be a slave to it? Be a master. Be a master to your mind. Who is running your life? Who is running your life? Many people say it's the economy, it's my boss, it's my wife, it's my husband, it's my family, it's my mother, it's my father. You are running your life. No one lives inside of your mind but you. There's no one else in there but you. So when you hear all that garbage going on, you are doing it. No one else is doing it. And if you have accepted something from somebody else that's complete garbage, get rid of that. But remember, somebody can only do that once to you. Only once can anyone do anything to you. Once you think about it again, you are doing it. You become your own warden in the prison. You become your own punisher because you're thinking it. The other person's long gone. Some people, oh, well, 30 years ago, he said that to me. Oh. So for 30 years, you've been thinking that, and for 30 years, you've been punishing yourself. Don't do that to yourself. You see, you must take responsibility for your thinking. I also said to you, this is called metaphysics. Learn to think metaphysically. You've learned all this stuff, you read all these things, you go to churches, you go to metaphysical churches, you do all that, and you drop yourself right back down into the physical world. And you try to make this teaching work in the physical world. This teaching does not work in the physical world, it works in the metaphysical world, and you must move up to the metaphysical instead of lowering yourself down to this plane of action constantly. What do I mean by that? You still believe in illness. You still do this to yourself. You still do that to yourself. You only pull this stuff out when you want something. And then you think, now I'm going to get it. I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. But you believe every damn thing that comes along. If the world tells you this is happening, that's happening, and that everything's bad, and 1 out of 10 get this, and this happens, and that happens, you say, oh, yeah, mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, they proved that. Oh, yes, the scientist. Oh, yes, the doctor. Mm-hmm. You're on this plane of action. You have to raise your consciousness up to a higher plane of action. You have to think metaphysically. So you have a lot of metaphysical things going on, but you immediately bring them down onto this plane of action. You must stay metaphysical. You must stay metaphysical. It's a metaphysical teaching. It's not a physical teaching. It doesn't teach anything about this physical world, this material world. All these things mean nothing. What's on the metaphysical that means something? How many people are familiar with the saying in the Bible? Things that are seen come from things that are not seen. So we're not interested in the things that are seen. We're interested in the things that are not seen. You will never see God unseen. But when you do see the table or you see me, It came from the unseen. Now you see it. You see? Now you see it. So you have to realize that. That there's this unseen power that runs through everything and causes everything on this plane of action. But you do not see that cause. You have to know that that just automatically happened. We call this the law of mind. It's an immutable law, meaning that it works for everybody, meaning also that it can never be changed. Regardless of how much you yell, scream, or how much you pray, you cannot affect the law of mind any more than you can affect this thing called God. God is not affected by your temper tantrums, and God is not affected by your prayer. You are affected by that, but not God. God always remains calm, cool, collected, poised, and serene. And that's what you must learn to do. And learn to use your thinking so that you feel wonderful about yourself and about life itself, and know that you are being taken care of, that it absolutely is an abundant universe and it's a prosperous universe. And you hear that and you say, yes, this is true. And then you constantly go into a mode of lack and limitation. You cannot be in a mode of lack and limitation and expect to find prosperity. You must stay in prosperity and abundance all the time. You know. So when your mind says, yes, but I don't have enough in that way, you have to shut that mind up. And you say, this world is absolutely abundant. This world was absolutely beautiful. And this thing called God is taking care of me. This thing called God is taking care of me. One of the master teachers, Jesus, said, look onto the lilies of the field. They do not weave, they do not toil. But look at the radiant garments that they're wearing. If God thinks that much of those, does he not think more of you, you people? You human beings, you spiritual, wonderful things, are created only a little less than the angels themselves. So you have to know that. You have to know that you are magnificent, that you are a magnificent human being, that you are a being of light and love. And you allow that to come out through you. You were created by love, in love, to express love. And every time you express love, you grow. You start to show that inner being that you really always have been. It goes back to my saying from years ago, the dish is never dirty. That spirit that is in you has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. It is ready. It is always there for you, and it wants to come to the forefront of your life. The reason that we don't bring it to the forefront of our life is because we have this little thing inside of our mind called an ego, which says, oh no, you can't do that. Who the hell do you think you are? So you must look at it and say, I know exactly who I am. Now shut up and go back to the nothingness from whence you came. That is the way that's done. All right. With that said, I'm opening it up. It's the last session of the month, and we have questions and answers. So I'll take questions and answers. If not, I'll just keep babbling.
What are we doing on that?
Pardon? Well, we can do that at any time, but can't we have questions and answers?
Well,
just saying.
You don't have a question?
Ooh, like I ever have a question.
Yeah.